Welcome to the Work Camper Show, a podcast devoted to helping you discover how to finance your RV travel dreams. I'm Steve Anderson, the president of Work Camper News. Each one of our episodes will either introduce you to people who are already living the RV lifestyle or to opportunities to work short-term jobs. You'll also learn how to hit the road the right way and make the most of every opportunity. Now let's turn over today's show to your host, Greg Gerber.
Thanks, Steve. Today I'm going to speak with a woman who has a fascinating job as a host on an excursion train operating within the Georgia State Park system. Today's show is sponsored by Work Camper News. Its one-year memberships open the door for a one-stop shop for all things work camping. Being the original resource for work camping, you'll find the largest number of job listings, be able to connect with the community of work campers, and take advantage of resources compiled by experts who've been enjoying the lifestyle for many years. Most Diamond and Platinum members receive inquiries from their online resumes within a day of being posted. The Work Camper Experiences section of the website has been piling up reviews of employers since 2007. Each archived issue of Work Camper News magazine has hundreds of help wanted ads alerting you to a variety of jobs available. With the daily hotline email, new job listings are emailed directly to you for the states you're most interested in visiting. If you're serious about leading a successful and enjoyable work camping lifestyle, then a Diamond or Platinum membership is for you. You can even get started with a free 30-day trial by visiting www.workcamper.com/trial. Embark on new adventures today with the support of Work Camper News behind you. There are lots of hosting positions available in the work camping lifestyle. There are campground hosts and museum hosts and even hosts at restaurants, but I had never heard of a train host. Nina Dalk is originally from Savannah, Georgia and moved to Atlanta in 2008. Then, a little more than a decade later, she retired and hit the road in her RV. This summer, Nina is working at the Georgia Veterans State Park, where she works as a host aboard the Sam Shortline excursion train. Passengers sit in air-conditioned and reconditioned 1949 vintage railroad cars as the train visits quaint towns, including Plains, Georgia, the home of former President Jimmy Carter. Nina gets to handle brochures, sell tickets, and answer questions passengers may have. She also works in the commissary car, which means she gets to fix and serve lunch, as well as prepare snacks. Her most important job is to help people have a great time as they enjoy a glimpse of what train travel was like in the 1950s. A former kindergarten teacher and principal, Nina started work camping in 2019 at the urging of several friends who had been camping for many years. So she bought a 22-foot travel trailer and headed to Texas for her first assignment. Since then, Nina has hauled her RV to work camping jobs in Montana, Colorado, and Arizona. All of the jobs she's had have required her to work directly with people. Nina loves being able to travel and take her own home with her. She loves the short-term aspect of work camping jobs that let her visit new places and experience different types of work. She describes some of the jobs she's had, the places she's worked, and the lessons she's learned. To tell us more about her story and motivation for RVing and work camping, please welcome Nina Dalk to the show. Thank you for joining me today, Nina. I really appreciate the time. Where are you from and where are you located right now?
Well, I'm originally from Savannah, Georgia, but I moved to the Atlanta area in 2008. And so that's where I was headquartered until I decided to get on the road right in 2019. And currently, I'm in Cordele, Georgia, which is a small town sort of south in southwest Georgia, about 3.5 hours south of Atlanta. And I'm working at the Georgia Veterans Memorial Park as an excursion train. So I'm a train host.
Now, that sounds interesting. What does a train host do?
Well, it's called an excursion train. It's actually a vintage train from the cars are from 1949, and the train is named the SAM short line train. It's named after original train line that ran from Savannah, I guess Americus in Montgomery, Alabama, and service towns or along the way or had stops along the way. And so now the train, we run typically every Saturday, and we have people from all over, from Georgia, but all over the country, tourists. And we make, we run every Saturday, and we travel. We leave Cordele, and depending on the schedule for the day, our big stop is we go to Plains, Georgia, the home of Jimmy Carter.
Yes.
And actually the railroad depot where he sort of announced his candidacy, that's still there. And so the train goes to Plains, Georgia, and has a two-hour layover so the passengers can get out and sightsee and visit the town.
And buy some peanuts, right?
And buy peanuts and also some delicious peanut butter and chocolate swirl ice cream, which is very tasty. And we also go make a stop in Archery, Georgia, which is just a few minutes away from Plains, but that's where Carter's boyhood home, the farm, is. And that's a National Historic Site. So passengers also get off there and they can walk around the property and tour it.
Well, that sounds like a fun job.
Yeah, it's very interesting. So there's we typically have, I guess, about 7 cars and coach cars, you know, and there's some more elaborate that have dining tables and chairs. Some have even have sleeping berths, but they're not really used on our run. And the train can hold typically now, because of reduced capacity, we've had we carry about up to 200 people, but when it's at full capacity, it can carry like 400.
Wow. That, and you narrate the trip, telling people a little bit about what they're seeing?
No, I don't get to do that. They use volunteers, and there are volunteers assigned to each car, and depending on what car you're servicing, you might just be handing out brochures, pamphlets or whatever, answering questions and just sort of supervising. Or in another car, the price of the ticket includes a lunch and snacks, you know, on the trip. So you might have to fix lunches and give them to your passengers. I'm now working in the commissary car, the food car. And so I'm in charge of getting all the foods ready, nothing fancy, but, you know, starting up the popcorn machine and the pretzel machine and putting on the hot dogs and sausage dogs or whatever. And so passengers can come in and place an order, and serve the food to them.
That's a really neat job, it sounds like. And you started RVing when?
This August, it'll be two years, 2019.
Okay.
I got on the road in August of 2019. I had been teaching. I retired, decided it was time to retire. And after I'd been teaching 34 years, and I wanted to do something different. And some friends who had two sets of friends who'd always camped either with the RV or just going to state parks, and which I never had. I've never camped before I went on the road. My family we were just not campers. And so they were telling me about work camping, and one couple is planning to do it when they retire. And the more I talked to them about it, the more interested I got and started reading up on it. And I found the work campers website. And one thing led to the other, and I traded in my car, and I shopped around with my friends to find a travel trailer, and I hit the road in August and headed to Texas.
What type of RV did you buy?
I have a It was a 2015 Sportsman 22-foot travel trailer.
Okay, very good.
And
that's ample size for a solo.
It is. It would not work for if there were two of us. That's for sure. But it's a very comfortable and cozy. You know, standard sort of queen size bed and the little kitchen area and dinettes and easy enough to pull with my I didn't want a big truck or SUV. I have a Nissan Pathfinder and sort of a crossover SUV, I guess. And so far it's worked well. I haven't had any problems at all pulling the travel trailer, and I've gone as far as up to Montana and back.
I also understand you've worked in Arizona and Colorado.
I did. I started in Texas at a church-sponsored retreat ranch, and then went to Mesa, Arizona, and a totally different setting. I was at a 55 and up resort RV park, which I found out there are many in Mesa or in Arizona, period. And so I worked at a poolside bar and grill that did food service. And that was quite different. So I was there from January until March, and then we were shut down because of the COVID. And I was slated to go up to Montana to work at a state park there. And I ended up going on up to Colorado and hanging out there for a month. I have a daughter and son-in-law who live in Colorado. So I went up to a park near them, close to Fort Collins, and stayed there for a month while I was waiting to get word that I could go up into Montana.
Okay, very good. It sounds like you've had a variety of experiences. What attracted you to work camping in the first place?
Well, after my friends, I had not heard of it, but after my friends were telling me about work camping, they had heard of it and read up on it and were telling me about work camping, and that's what they were planning on doing. They were planning on being camp host.
Mm-hmm.
And they told me about the work campers website, and then I just also surfed the web for articles and information about work camping and full-time RVing. And the more I read up on it, the more interested I got, and it just really appealed to me, especially when I went ahead and joined the work campers organization, and I was able to look at all the jobs, the variety of jobs in all the different states that were available. It was just amazing. And it just fascinated me. And somehow I just really got, attracted to it and decided that that's what I wanted to do. And just being able to be on the road, have your home with you, and then visiting different places. I've always loved to travel, and I enjoy driving. So being able to go different places and not being tied down, for any extended time, to work mm-hmm. 3 months here, 4 months there, whatever.
You said that you were a teacher?
I was. I worked for most of my career. I was in early childhood education. I taught kindergarten up to most of my years, about 18, 19 years in kindergarten. I've taught second grade. And then I was a principal for 8 years of a new Catholic school in Savannah. So, but mainly classroom teacher.
Well, God bless you. That's like corralling cats at that age. Trying to get the kindergartners together and focused on one activity for more than 2 minutes. Oy vey, that takes a special person.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I guess if I've had any passion coming along as over my career as an adult, it's been education and kids. I love the 5-year-olds and kindergartners. They're just, you know, eager to learn, interested, you know, just a lot of curiosity. And so I always enjoyed being in the classroom with them. Didn't always necessarily enjoy the paperwork and meetings, but the kids were great.
What have you liked most about your work camping and RVing experience so far?
I guess basically just being able to go to different locations and learn about the community that I've been in, and you know, picking up new skills. You know, in when I was in Texas, I worked at a retreat ranch, and there was another solo female work camper there, and the two of us, we worked on we did anything from food prep to clerical work. You know, so I learned, picked up some new skills with some computer programs, and did food prep for meeting for retreats we hosted there at the ranch. And Colorado, I volunteered for a historical, a rehab project on a historical site, and I actually learned how to do mortar work.
Wow.
on an old stone cabin. And so that was interesting. And then in Montana, you know, in each area, it's so interesting, just delving into the history of the area. In Montana, I learned the history of the area and all the tribes that were in Montana and the reservations. And the park I worked at was actually at the site, a historical site, at the site of a buffalo jump. And so I had to learn the history of the buffalo jump and how the tribes used the buffalo jump as part of their buffalo hunts.
I don't even know what a buffalo jump is. What is it?
Well, it's a basically like a high rock formation, like a big cliff. And in Montana, there's several hundred jumps across the state. And I was at, it was called the First People's Buffalo Jump State Park. And the buffalo jump there was thought to be the largest, if one of the largest, if not the largest in the U.S. And the history goes back to, based on oral history, I think it was back to the 900s. And there were various tribes who would travel to that location from as far away as Washington State and Oregon. They travel there on foot, and the buffalo jump was used as a mechanism for hunting the buffalo. They would go off, a buffalo runner, a young man probably about 12 to 16, would go off and locate a herd, and through some trickery and methods, sort of deceitful methods, really. He'd trick the buffalo into thinking he was a lost buffalo, and he would get them to follow him back to where the jump is. And the buffalo were led up this hill, basically a rise, a big cliff area. And then he would spook them and run, and he would get them. The point was to get the herd of buffalo to chase after him. And they would basically run off the edge of the cliff and drop below and be killed or slaughtered once they hit the ground.
An ambush site.
And the buffalo runner, he would have figured out sort of a rocky outcropping or place where he could drop down to and hide away while the buffalo were going over the cliff.
Okay.
And then so they, Indian tribe would stay there on site while they processed all the buffalo meat and the hides. I mean, they used every inch of the buffalo for various purposes. Mm-hmm. And so that's how they were able to hunt the buffalo, because they didn't have horses in that area until about the 1700s.
It sounds like you have a variety, or you like to have a variety of things to do when you're working. Is that right?
I do. I mean, that was interesting because it was totally out of my experience as far as learning, you know, the history of Montana, and especially about the tribes and the reservations, and, you know, totally different from what I grew up with in Georgia. So I really enjoyed that. And even, you know, being in Texas, I was in the Texas Hill Country area, and really just beautiful area. Never envisioned, you know, that part of Texas. Yeah, I think Texas is just sort of scrubby and, you know, flat or whatever. But mm-hmm. this is beautiful hill country area, very quaint little towns. And it was just a wonderful experience also, being able to explore the different parts of Texas, as well as in Montana. I was able to sightsee Arizona. I did the same thing, was able to get out and sightsee. I started taking horseback riding lessons when I was in Texas. So that was a neat experience.
Have you faced any challenges on the road?
Well, no major challenges as far as, I've been telling friends who are visiting with them that, you know, so far it's so good as far as the actual traveling and towing the travel trailer. I've been lucky because I really haven't had any big emergencies or troubles, other than facing high wind going through Wyoming and having a white knuckle trying to keep the vehicle on the road with 60 mile an hour winds blowing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just been little challenges, like, you know, being someone new to dealing with the equipment. You think, you know, especially like when I started off, lining up my SUV and the trailer, you know, that was something that I had to get used to. And initially it might have taken me like 45 minutes to get the two vehicles hitched up, and then gradually it got a little quicker. And typically when I thought things were going real well, and, you know, I got everything hitched up and the chains were going on right, and then all of a sudden, you know, the next outing when I you know, be hitching up to leave, it's like something just wasn't working right. And I would be there instead of 10 minutes to get something done or 5 minutes, it turned out to be 30 minutes. And it was just, you know, the chains, or I just somehow wasn't working it the same way I had been, and took me longer. And invariably, I mean, I would get it done, of course, get things done and be able to get on the road. Sometimes with the help of neighbors. So that's been the frustration periodically. Okay. Where things just don't work as planned.
So
with the equipment.
You really haven't faced any big challenges that should discourage other solos from going out there and embracing this lifestyle?
No, I haven't, I have to say. And that was one reason why I thought, you know, my story, it might be interesting to share it, because I have gotten, have been greeted with comments from fellow work campers, you know, once I have arrived at the next location, you know, you get to know people and they say, oh, you're a solo, or they'd ask, oh, well, where's your partner, your husband with us? I said, oh, no, it's just me, myself, and I. And mm-hmm. and some of them have looked pretty surprised, like, oh, well, so you do all the hitching, you're able to hitch up everything? And I said, well, yeah, I've gotten the knack of it.
Yep.
You've been able to handle it pretty well. So, I think, you know, of course, I think it's would be very useful. You have somebody who is knowledgeable and is able to be sort of a mentor and show you the basics. And then the other thing I found to be true, which my friends had told me based on their experiences going to different parks and campgrounds and whatever, they said, well, Nina, you know, if you ever get stuck or do need help, there's always people around to help, or, you know, people are very friendly and willing to help. And I have definitely found that to be true. When I've gotten stuck and I've gone looking for help, or sometimes neighbors have noticed, I might not have asked for help yet, but they've noticed that I was sort of struggling at one task for a while. Okay. And they've come, you know, they'll come over and say, can I lend you a hand?
Oh, that's sweet. Yeah. Have you enjoyed any perks in your work camping positions that you really liked?
Yes. Well, it's been nice here in the state parks. This is my first time. This is the second Georgia state park. I decided to come back to my home state, and from now until this time next year, I'm going to be going to different Georgia state parks. And so I found out that I'm able to enjoy all the various amenities. You know, you can play like whatever is here for the visitors. I'm able to use free of charge, like the golf course, and bike rentals are free. And plus I get you know, full hookup site, plus free laundry, cable. So it's just a nice addition, being able to use the amenities at the park free of charge.
Mm-hmm. Now, are you in volunteer positions most of the time, or are you in paid positions?
I've been in mostly volunteer positions. My only paid position was in Arizona at the resort park, and that was paid, but at the same time we were charged rent, so it was sort of a wash.
Okay.
For the most part so far, like all the state parks, it's all volunteer positions. And Texas was volunteer, and Montana was volunteer.
When your current position ends, what do you plan to do next?
Well, I will be here until the 1st of September, and then I'm going to another state park in Georgia that's not too, I guess it's about an hour and a half away, maybe 2 hours, and in Noonan, Georgia, called Chattahoochee Bend. I'll be a park host, camp host there, and until from September until the end of October, and then I go to another state park. So I go to a string of state parks, and then I'm hoping to be back here this time next year to do the train host again.
Okay. Do you travel with any pets?
I don't. I've thought about it. The last pet I had had a Cocker Spaniel for 15 years, and she became ill and I had to put her down back in 2018. And I've thought about getting another dog. I've always had a dog, and I just haven't been bold enough to take the step. I mean, I see a lot of, you know, there's a lot of dogs traveling, and my daughter actually has suggested to me that I needed a dog, you know, for some company.
Sure.
But that worries me, just especially since, you know, I might work 8 hours in a day, and I haven't been comfortable thinking about leaving the dog in the travel trailer for that long.
Are there any places that are still on your bucket list that you want to travel to?
I'd like to eventually head up to the Northeast, Vermont. There's a good many, I've noticed a good many jobs listed in the Northeast, in Vermont and New Hampshire, in that direction. And so that sort of has gotten my attention when I've seen the job listings, as well as some other locations out west, like in Utah, back out in that area, which I haven't seen, or even in the Dakotas. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I really haven't gone to that many states since I've just been on the road for almost two mm-hmm. years now. Yeah.
Okay. Do you have any advice to people who are considering becoming a work camper?
Well, I guess, like I said, I think the most important thing, especially based on your experiences, because like I said, I had never camped before, except I guess one experience while I was in college, tent camping with roommates. And you really need to search out friends or someone who's knowledgeable, you know, and pick their brain for information and have them as advisors or mentors or whatever, and finding out resources. It's an amazing world. I just never imagined. It's a whole nother world as far as the whole subject of work camping. And I never realized there was so much out there, especially as far as I'm not one big into social media, but there's so many groups, you know, that you can mm-hmm. Find online to join and to follow people who travel together, you know, follow each other and have gatherings all across the country. Okay. So there's a lot of resources, but I guess my main advice would be to, like I say, find someone who's knowledgeable or several people who are knowledgeable, point you in the right direction and ask for various resources that you can then, you know, look into and find out for yourself and decide. And then I had my friends went around with me at certain times while I was looking for a travel trailer, just giving advice.
Okay. That's great advice. So of the groups that you mentioned, have you joined any that you found particularly helpful?
I haven't taken the leap to join any. I did, when I did initially hit the road, I guess I got into, checking different groups out or whatever, but, I guess my thing was I had made plans and, like when I went on the road, I had the job in Texas lined up as well as Arizona, I guess. And so that was my focus, was to make it to Texas. And then I parked there from August until December, and then I went to Arizona. So I didn't have the leeway, you know, to like meet up with whatever group on the way. So, but that's something that is still in the back of my mind as far as checking into what's out there as far as the different groups. And I know there's also sort of events and activities that they plan and that you can participate in, you know, along your travels.
Well, thank you, Nina. I really appreciate you sharing your story. It sounds like you've had some pretty incredible adventures so far, and I wish you the best of luck as you continue to live your dream.
Well, thank you, Greg. I appreciate this chance. I always enjoy listening to the podcast and finding out what everybody else is doing. It's always interesting to me. So I appreciate you doing this for everybody.
I want to thank Nina Dalk for taking time to come on the show to talk about her experiences as a work camper and RVer. As a solo traveler, she has discovered that people are always willing to help her figure things out. Nina has been lucky in that she hasn't experienced any major problems on the road, other than some pretty high winds when trying to tow her RV upon occasion. She shared the reaction of fellow work campers who were surprised to learn that she hooks up the RV by herself, sets up the campsite by herself, and pretty much handles everything that comes her way by herself. Nina has always found her neighbors to be friendly, helpful people who will step in to give her a hand if she needs assistance. She loves work camping not only because of the ability to travel to different places to see and do new things, but also for some of the perks the jobs offer. Work campers often get free use of amenities that other guests at campgrounds have to pay to enjoy. Nina generally accepts jobs that include free full hookup campsites, which saves her a lot of money on her adventures. She's worked both paid and volunteer positions, but likes volunteer jobs best of all. She really encourages people contemplating the RVing and work camping lifestyle to follow their hearts and their passion to create a lifestyle of travel and adventure. I appreciate Nina Delk for sharing her story. You don't have to start the RVing or work camping lifestyle on your own. You can tap into decades worth of experiences enjoyed by other people who have perfected the lifestyle. In fact, the Dreamer's Journey can help you get started on the right foot. It's a new online course and community produced by WorkCamper News. Life is way too short to keep your dreams on hold, so don't be held back by fear because you were designed for more. Get started in the RV lifestyle the right way with this comprehensive guide. For just $29.95 for 90 days of access, Dreamers have unlimited viewing of 50-plus videos to learn things like what type of RV to buy, goal setting, how to budget for the adventure, developing a positive mindset, setting up a domicile, operating a small business on the road, plus everything about work camping and how to find the right job for you. Each video is 30 to 90 minutes long, giving in-depth coverage on each topic. There's no wrong time to get started. For more information, visit www.rvdreamersjourney.com. That's all I have for this week's show. Knowing that many work campers travel with dogs, next week I'm going to interview a veterinarian for advice on how to make traveling with dogs enjoyable and stress-free. She'll offer lots of great ideas on the next episode of The Work Camper Show. Thanks for listening.